Hey, what's up? This is Tanja Miles, your host of the Tailgate Show. I am so glad you tuned in today. I hope you guys are doing well, having a great morning, just enjoying this beautiful day. I know I am, and I look forward to just, you know, sitting down, talking to you guys, having a community conversation about the things that are relevant, things that are happening in our community that affects us all. And you know that's what we're about here on the Tailgate Show, making sure that you stay informed, you know what's going on, so you can really, really, really help yourself, help your family, and help your community. And it's all about community here on the Tailgate Show. And look, hey, I just want to always say I appreciate you guys listening, taking the time out to have this conversation with me. You know, there are a lot of things that I'm familiar with. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of things in the community I know about. Because I don't have kids, a lot of things when it comes to children, it's not that I'm not comfortable, but I might not know like the next person. But like, you know, our guest said, you know, even though I'm not a parent, I am a citizen. You know, I'm a taxpayer, you know, and I want to make sure that things are good in our community, especially when it comes to education. What's out there for our kids? Because kids, you know, that's just not a song that Whitney Houston sang. They are our future. But here's the cool thing about it is that when we have strong schools, we have strong communities and we have strong families. And that's what we want to make sure we always have going in the capital region here in Baton Rouge and the surrounding areas. So today we have in studio with us Louisiana Federation for Children, and I'm talking to Ms. Ann Duplessis, and she is the president of Louisiana Federation for Children, and I'm also talking to the Louisiana Communication Director, Mr. Paul Dolphin. Did I say that name right?
You got it. Perfect.
Thank you, because I can butcher your name, brother. I can butcher your name, Ms. Ann. I really, really can. But thank you guys so much for being here. You guys came all the way from the great city of New Orleans.
Absolutely. I like to call it the country now. Baton Rouge is really the great
spot. After Katrina, post-Katrina, huh? I don't
absolutely
know, y'all still got us beat.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That one, but I love this city, and I love, you know, what you guys are doing in our community, in our state. And Miss Ann, you know, if you don't mind me calling you Miss Ann.
Absolutely.
You do a lot of great work, you know, in our community. You have been. You've been a pillar here in the state of Louisiana, but tell me why you're doing this job. What's so passionate? Because I can see the passion written all over your face.
You know, Tanja, thank you again for giving us an opportunity to spend some time with you this morning to really talk about what, you know, what we mean about giving parents an opportunity to choose what works best for their children. You know, I was not always a supporter of choice and reform.
Me neither.
I had to evolve. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of aha moments for me that helped me to see that what we were doing and still are in many cases as it relates to how we're educating our kids or how we're not educating our kids, what that meant to not only me as an individual, to our city, mm-hmm. to our state, and to our country. What does that actually mean when we do not have an educated population, and how that directly impacts me? And,
right.
You know, one of the things that really gave me an aha moment. I've told this story many times about, you know, when you look at when tragedy happens and what why, you know, if there was a way that we could turn the clock back, mm-hmm. if that could have, you know, that turning of the clock back and doing things differently,
right.
could have avoided tragedy. Well, years ago, my father was murdered, and he was killed by two young guys who were out of school, who were stuck in a system that they didn't believe that there was a future for them. And so as many of us who have experienced tragedy, right, we realize that the people who commit these crimes, if they would have understood that there is life,
come on,
that there is a future,
right?
If someone cared,
absolutely,
right? Then perhaps, just perhaps, mm-hmm. that tragedy may not have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that aha moment came to me when I began to look into the eyes, as I was a state senator years ago, and look into the eyes of my constituents. And when my constituents were yelling out to me and saying, you know, I don't care that you're a state senator. You know, yes, we have an elected school board, but you are an elected individual. Mm-hmm. We elected you, and we want you to help.
Right.
And so that is what brought me to this place where I am today. I believe that God has called me to not be concerned about the rhetoric of, you know, unions and what they try and portray as, you know, as right and wrong. Mm-hmm. But to the families who know what's right and wrong for their families and for their children. And right. So I've dedicated my life, and am blessed that I've been given a vehicle to be able to continue the work even after, you know, my time in the Senate.
Well, speaking of your life, and two questions I guess I have. What does the president do for Louisiana Federations of Children? But before you answer that question, you know, tell us a little bit about your background, because I'm looking at your bio, which is great. You've done a lot of great things, and now, you know, you've always worked in the community and you know, and continue to be a public servant.
Well, I am trained to be a banker. Mm-hmm. I've been in banking for about 33 years, and absolutely love that, because again, it gives me an opportunity to help see dreams materialize. You know, when I have a customer who comes to me and wants to open a business, that's mm-hmm. a dream, right? When I have a family who says we're ready to buy our first home, that's
Yay.
A dream.
That's
you know,
right.
When I have kids and families who say we're ready to send our kids to college mm-hmm. or to high school. Mm-hmm. That's a dream, right? And so I've been able to help families materialize and realize their dreams through my professional life.
Right.
You know, through that, I've worked and served on many different boards in the community. I currently serve on the LSU's Board of Supervisors, past chair of the LSU's Board of Supervisors, and many other community organizations. Spent some time, about 8 years, in the Louisiana Senate, and I think that was a time when I felt God was using me the most.
Right, that's good.
And so, so I after the Senate and after, you know, I went back to a private life, I was asked by the American Federation for Children, which is an organization, a national organization, that promotes choice mm-hmm. and education reform. We believe that all schools, whether they're traditional public schools, mm-hmm. whether they're charter schools, which are public schools, mm-hmm. which, you know, a lot of people believe that charter schools are some entity out
right,
there that's so different, that's
right.
by themselves, that's not a public school, mm-hmm. but they are. We believe in vouchers. We believe in all of the vehicles that can allow for a parent to use the resources that are available to put their child in an educational environment that works for that child. And mm-hmm. that's the key, right? We believe all schools must be good and
that's
should
right.
be good, but that parent ought to have the opportunity to decide which one of the good schools
that their kids get to go to. That makes sense. Well, the Louisiana Federation for Children is a project of the American Federation for Children and the AFC Growth Fund, dedicating to promoting, protecting, and expanding private school choice and opportunity scholarships program for low-income families. So, Paul, how do you guys get that message out there that there is another way or a better way?
We get it out by really going directly to the community and constantly meeting with families to let them know that this option is here. We do it in school expos. We do it in we're even scheduling now neighborhood events mm-hmm. in New Orleans, and we're going to be doing some in Baton Rouge, where not only do we talk to them about specific school choice options, but we get to know the families and get to know what their needs are. And what we find is it's kind of like the approach we like to see to education. It's not one size fits all.
Right.
So, you know, we've met so many families. I've been with LFC now for about 3 years.
And what's your passion that drives you to do this?
My passion is, you know, I'm a communicator, so getting the message out. But the thing, you know, you asked Ann earlier, how did she get involved? Well, the way I got involved years ago, this was the year before Katrina, I was working with as a public relations consultant with a new charter school in New Orleans. So I was basically approaching it as a communications professional. And the first thing that we did with that school, it was converting from public school to charter school. And we anticipated that the community would not like this. In fact, we were worried that they were going to, you know, run the University of New Orleans out of the meeting room. They were the people that were going to open this new charter school. And what we found and what started turning me around is 200 people showed up, mostly mothers and fathers, but mostly mothers, and they were hungry for a better school in a better way. And when I saw that, this is interesting. And then at the same time, over the years leading up to that, the school system in New Orleans, the public school system, was awful. So I had bought into the arguments about, you know, we've got to, you know, we can't siphon any money from public school and all these other arguments. And at that point, I said to myself, they've had almost 100 years
right.
at doing this, and they're not doing it right. And these new movements, we're not denigrating public schools. We're not taking money away from public schools. Right. And Ann will talk more about that as we move on.
Because that's what people think.
But, you know, it's so amazing that and why communications is so important and critical in just this work, right? You know, what the naysayers will have you believe is that parents want these public schools to stay around. But parents want a good environment for their children.
No doubt.
Parents really could care less if it was a public, Catholic, whatever mm-hmm. type school. But that their babies are being nurtured and their babies are being taught. You know, they spend, in many instances, they come home sometimes to volatile communities, right? But the one time that they want to be sure, you know, that their children are being
safe
and uh-huh. protected is when they're at school.
That makes
and
sense.
When they're not there to help keep them safe, right? And so, you know, the people who want you to believe that giving their children, giving people an option, are in many cases the politicians. And I'm recovering, so I'm not putting myself in that. But it's the politicians and special interests. Mm-hmm. We believe that through communication and effective communication that we can help people, the real people who are being impacted, understand the differences, understand the rhetoric, right? And help to drive the change themselves.
Well, just talking, like I said, and I'm being educated as, you know, the audience is as well at the same time. But do you spend most of your time, even this might be a question for you, Paul, but I guess both of you guys, look like you spend most of your time trying to
fight.
Yes. Encourage,
yeah.
You know, persuade, maybe. Yeah. Because we go back to charter schools, and that just is not a good word.
It is a tradition of what they've only known and what the value systems have been over the last, as Paul said, 100 years. Let's think about this. When we look at everything in our lives that we've allowed innovation and change to occur. The cell phones, right? Mm-hmm. Your cell phone now is your lifeline.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us have panic attacks if we leave the house or in, you know, without the phone, or we left the cell phone in the car, or, you know, the car's already been taken up with valet. And you're like, we have allowed technology and have embraced it. I mean, we use that one device. You use that device to do all your banking in many cases. You don't go to a bank anymore. I mean,
there's an app for that.
There's an app for that, right? Maybe there ought to be an app for school.
You know what? Maybe they do, but you know what? There's an app also for us taking a break. And look, we gotta take a break right quick because there's so much I want to know, and there's so much the listening audience wants to know about what, you know, you guys actually do. We're gonna get into the meat and potatoes of that, but before we do that, we're gonna take a quick break. You guys don't go anywhere. We're talking to the Louisiana Federation for Children, and you don't want to miss what they have to say and how you have options. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
From Brookstown to Port Hudson.
My station is and always will be
Baton Rouge's inspiration station. WXOK.
Hey, welcome back to the Tailgate Show. I'm your host, Tonja Miles. I'm so glad you're still locked in. Well, we have a great conversation we're talking about today, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Because why? Because you're going to get to learn some stuff the same day I get to learn about charter schools and vouchers. I have no idea. I thought I knew, but no, I really don't. So we're talking to the Louisiana Federation for Children, and we have in studio with us today Mr. Paul Dolphin and Ms. Ann DePlessis, and she's the president of this great organization that do so many things. I want to read something that I got offline. It says, Louisiana is one of the nation's leaders in educational choice, with the strongest and most transparent academic and financial accountability measures. The Louisiana Scholarship Program allows parents to choose from 123 participating private schools that best fits the needs of their children. That's a powerful statement because it's all about choice.
That's right.
It's all about options. But tell us, break down, what is the difference between a charter school or charter and a voucher? Because I was thinking it was the same thing.
No. Okay. So this is... let's talk first the vouchers, right? The voucher program, the Louisiana Scholarship Program.
That's a voucher.
That's a voucher. Okay. As you just read, the voucher was enacted originally back in 2008. And I actually authored the legislation.
And it started in New Orleans,
It started in New Orleans as a pilot program because the people, the legislators from the rest of the state says, no, we don't want that. We're not doing that. Y'all go ahead and y'all be the guinea pigs. And so we, as Paul said earlier, there was a time in the New Orleans history of their public school system, of our public school system, that it was so messed up that there was really just no fixing it. We really had to, as we use the term, we should have Katrina'd it. Okay. But then Katrina happened and gave us an opportunity to. But what the voucher program simply does is it allows for a parent to apply for a grant, so to speak, right? That grant is equivalent to the amount of money that is currently already being spent on the child. So in the state of Louisiana, just as in any other state, the states have a mandate by charter to constitution to educate every child. Every child in this state has the opportunity to be educated on the state's nickel, if you want to put it like that. The state has determined that it costs about $9,015. I think that was the last number we got to educate every child.
Right? Is that a year?
A year.
Okay.
Per student.
Okay.
And the state is, so for every child, regardless of your parents' income, regardless of your zip code, whatever, every parent, if you wanted to send your child to a traditional public school, the state would pay for it at a rate of $9,000.
On average.
Now, so the idea here is, if this school is not educating my child, you have the C, D, and F rated schools. If my child is not growing in this environment, then is that the best use for that taxpayer dollars? Mm-hmm. Right? And so the idea here is to take those resources that are already allocated to that child That money, $9,000, and allow that parent to take it and shop with the school.
Freedom of choice.
That works best. Absolutely. And so what has happened, most of the participating, now we do have to have schools that are willing to participate in the program. And we have a number, I think we had the last count was 123 schools mm-hmm. across the state. But those schools have to agree to participate. But then that parent can look through those schools, right, and decide if they were awarded a scholarship to use that money towards their education at that particular school.
Okay, you said if.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to apply.
They have to apply okay. to the school.
Okay.
And the beauty of it is that the child does not, the school cannot test that child to get in. So that's one falsehood that people have tried to put out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, vouchers just skim the best kids out of the public school system. And so that's why the public school system's results aren't as good. Well, that's not the truth. The voucher schools cannot test that particular child to get into that school. They have to take that child where that child is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and in many cases, unfortunately, these kids are coming into these schools two, three grade levels behind. And that is the unfortunate program. But the specifics are for the voucher program. The eligibility requirements are you can either be entering kindergarten, you know, mm-hmm. or you are currently in, your child is currently in a school that's rated C, D, or F. Mm-hmm. There's also income requirements. So as we said before, the state can pay for a wealthy person's child to go to school if they decide to put their child in a public, traditional public school. But for the voucher program, there isn't, you can't, the parents or the household can't have more than 250% of median income. So they're low income families mm-hmm. that can have access. And, you know, with limited resources at the state level, we believed as we put the program together that we ought to take care of the most at risk and the most right. vulnerable.
So I'm impressed and surprised that you have 123 schools that are participating in this mm-hmm. because, you know, what you've heard on the flip side of that is some people saying, well, you know, why should a school take a at-risk or, you know, a low-income child into their private school, so to speak?
Most of these private schools, and most of them are Catholic schools. Let mm-hmm. me just tell you, most of them, in many cases, have some scholarship monies available for low-income students. What this does is for these schools, it gives them an opportunity to take on more, to leverage. So instead of them being able to take one or two kids into their school, then with the scholarship program, this can allow them to use their resources other places to be able to do more. We really just don't understand why, especially many cases, our African American legislators, which most of them are my dear friends, mm-hmm. aren't embracing this, because the kids that are being impacted the most are African American kids in this state.
Is that true?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because you know we talk about that, but you know there are statistics that will back that up.
Oh, yes. There are most of the kids in the program, about 88% of the children in the program in the state of Louisiana are African-American, and all 100% are low-income mm-hmm. students. And so, you know, so the voucher program is just that, plain and simple. You know, the student applies based on eligibility requirements of income and or the child is entering kindergarten, or they are in a failing school. Mm-hmm. And because we cannot provide a scholarship for every child because of financial, mm-hmm. There is a certain amount of money that has been allocated by the state legislature. Those children who are awarded a scholarship are able to use those dollars that are available to them to attend the private school that participates in the program, mm-hmm. but they can choose which one works best for them. Now, the charter schools, okay, totally different animal. Okay. Totally different animal. Okay.
Public schools. All charters are public.
All, first and foremost.
Wait, break that down.
All charter schools are public schools. Okay. So.
How was that so?
Because the charter schools are actually, organized by, at the state, of,
by the, Department,
by the Department of Education. Okay. And so what you typically have is, well, let me just, the main difference between a traditional public school and a charter public school, a public charter school, the main difference is governance. Mm-hmm. That is a huge difference. In a traditional public school, the school has to follow the rules of the system. So if you have 10 schools or 100 schools under a system, then who dictates what happens in your school?
The system.
Right?
Not the individual school. Okay.
So, So the superintendent says, based on union tenure and unionized teachers and that dictates who you can hire, who you can fire, right? Mm-hmm. What books you need to read, what your curriculum ought to look like. You can't change curriculum. You have to get an approval by the system to do something different.
So it's cookie cutter.
And what we see with charter schools, and you'll realize this when I mention it, but charters usually have a specialization. And give you an example here in Baton Rouge, Kenilworth Charter School, which is a public school, but they specialize in sciences. Mm-hmm. So they're big in STEM. Mm-hmm. Education. In fact, I visited that school a couple of years ago and witnessed a fantastic robotics competition. But, you know, that's their specialty. Mm-hmm. You'll have other schools that will specialize in arts. Mm-hmm. But it gives it takes the management of the school and the curriculum of the school. Those decisions are made at each school level instead of at the school board level.
And listen, that's the key. That is the key, because just think about in any organization, any company, any whatever, in order for that company or that organization or that school to be successful, it has got to be able to meet the needs of the people they're serving in those within those walls.
I agree.
Every child is different. The personality of the schools in many cases are different. So in a charter world, that charter, one, the teachers do not have to be under the auspice of a union that dictates who gets promoted, mm-hmm. regardless of how much work, how well you do or how bad you do, right? Who gets to keep their job, regardless if they come to work or not, right? Who's producing, having good outcomes,
right,
or not. The school leaders and the board, because each charter has their own governing board, and that governing board hires and fires the school leader. The school leader is the CEO. If you notice, that's the terms you'll mm-hmm. see. That CEO's role is to manage the finances, ensure that they hire the best educators that they can hire, and that they have certain outcomes that have got to happen.
Okay.
And so that is in a nutshell, primarily the difference. The school leaders can manage their budgets and can allocate in many cases more of the money directly to the child versus the traditional public method where the money comes into the administration. Mm-hmm. If you look at a lot of these administrations, you got a whole hierarchy of administrators, right, who got to get paid first.
Right.
Right. And then the money somehow gets then funneled down in whatever dribs and drabs to the individual classroom. And so, contrary to what the public believes, you don't pass a test either to get into a public charter school.
Okay.
You apply.
Okay.
So, you know, the bottom line difference is that the public charters are open to any student that applies,
okay,
they have the ability to manage independently, which is a great thing. They have the ability to see, to innovate. If what they're teaching or the books they're using or whatever, the software that
they can change it
tomorrow.
Okay.
In a traditional system, you can't. You cannot change on a dime.
Well, you said a word that I want to get more and into, and that's apply. How do parents apply? We're going to take a quick break. This is so much great information. You guys, if you got somebody out there listening and you said, you know what, I'm interested in this, we're going to make sure you get all that information so where you will know to go on the website and maybe sign up your kid for the next school year. But we're talking to Ms. Ann Duplessis. She's the president of Louisiana Federation for Children, and Mr. Paul Dolphin, he's the Louisiana Communication Director. And we'll be right back. And most important, we're talking to you. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back at the tailgate.
From downtown to Monticello, everyone is listening to Baton Rouge's Inspiration Station.
Back to the tailgate show. I'm so glad you stayed tuned in, where we got so much information that we've given to you guys, and we're not through yet. We want to take this time to make sure that you are well-versed, that you are well-educated on charter schools, school vouchers, school choice, all this stuff that I've learned so much about today. And you guys have truly, truly, truly been a blessing, and you have schooled me. And I know you probably have done the same to a lot of people who are listening. So tell us more about, what's out there and what options are available.
Listen, one thing I do want to just, make sure that, people understand that when you hear, all the rhetoric about vouchers or charter schools and this isn't happening and that and how horrible they are, that is absolutely rhetoric. Educate yourself. Learn more about it, because there are very strong special interest groups who are trying to stop all of, the progress that is being made and stop the ability for families to be able to choose. I mean, you just got to follow the money, okay? But, there's so many. Louisiana is so blessed that we have a number of programs that are available, and it's so hard in this time that we've had today to go through all of them, and we're going to give you a website before we leave so that you can go online and really look at all of the various options and programs that are available. We have a new program that was just enacted in the legislature this last session, the Louisiana Tax Credit Scholarship Program. And this is basically, it operates the same. These are our funds that are raised by STOs, student tuition organizations, which are nonprofit organizations. They raise money in the private sector, and that money that is raised is used to give scholarships to underserved kids.
That's on a
first come, first serve basis. And Paul will give you an overview on how to get access to both the tuition tax credit program as well as the scholarship program. And he'll also give you some insight on how you can go about identifying the right charter school.
Okay.
If you're interested in charter school.
Well, starting with the scholarship program, the application process, especially here in Baton Rouge, the timing for that, we're talking about applying not for the school year that's coming up, but the next school
year. Right,
right, right. Because everybody should have made their decisions about where they're going this current school year. But in January, the application process for the Louisiana Scholarship Program will open. And basically, it's a process that runs through the Department of Education. We will have information on our website. I'll give the address now, and then we can give it again before we finish. But it's Louisiana4children.org. Louisiana4children.org. And that's your one-stop information shop for everything school choice. But in January, when the application process opens, we will have links so you can apply online. What we encourage and what you do is when you go to that application, it'll list the eligible schools that are participating in the program in the greater Baton Rouge area. Right now, like the current school year, there's 27 Baton Rouge area schools in the scholarship program. Probably be about that same number next year.
Okay.
So you pick out the school that you're interested in going to. We encourage parents to visit that school, and they can actually fill out an application at the school. But they get to meet with the school leader, the principal, and just make sure that that school is going to be a fit for their child.
Okay.
The tax credit program works a little bit differently. Ann mentioned the student tuition organizations. These are the organizations that help raise money to fund these scholarships, and basically they're tax credits. So they're going primarily to businesses and other people who want to get tax credit for their contributions into that tax credit program.
Okay.
So the number of seats available is based on how much money is raised. Mm-hmm. What we're going to have on our website also in January is information on how to connect with the different student tuition organizations so that they can basically match you with a school.
Okay.
And, you know, make sure you're eligible and all that. The school choice program for certain students with exceptionalities, that's basically a scholarship program for students with disabilities like autism, traumatic brain injury, et cetera.
Mental disabilities, specific learning disabilities.
Yep. And you know, the beauty about that with that program is that you don't have to meet a certain income eligibility requirement. So that's important.
That is.
You know, especially for middle class families who, you know, who can't afford to send their child to a specialized school. This scholarship program would be very beneficial for them to look at.
And that parent can also select a school that the family feels will best fit the students. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's
Absolutely.
Good to know.
Very,
That's good to know.
So it's actually a program that's been around for, you know, a few years now, and there's not a lot of people participating in it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't know about it. So again, we'll have information about that on our website, but the application process to get involved with that is through the State Department of Education.
Now, what about vouchers? If you want to, you know, sign up for a voucher, when is that?
That'll be in January.
Okay, everything's in January.
Yeah, yep. Everything's. Now, if for some reason you're listening and you live in the New Orleans area, the application period for the scholarship program for vouchers actually start, it will start in November.
Okay.
And the reason why it's earlier in New Orleans is because I don't know if I'm sure some people here in Baton Rouge have heard of One App. In New Orleans, all the public schools, the charter schools, and the voucher schools all participate in a common application process called One App.
Okay, makes
sense.
So
you go to one place where it lists all the schools, and you select the ones that you want, and then it gets sorted out from there. So it's a you know, a little bit more convenient, I guess, there with One App. And but in Baton Rouge, you know, you would have to go to the individual school, mm-hmm. especially with the scholarship program.
Well, Ann, what does the future of Louisiana Federation for Children look like?
I think the future is absolutely bright. I think, I know we have been able to help families truly understand what empowerment really is.
That's good.
And you know what? This is a bipartisan issue. This is not Republican, Democrat, black or white issue. This is a moral issue. Right. This is an issue that says if I want to live in a prosperous, safe community, then the one thing that we got to get right is how we educate the future. Right. And so I think that the future is going to still cause a lot of work, mm-hmm. but I'm up to the challenge. I'm still, you know, I don't know. I call myself a millennial, but I'm not. You know, it's going to cause, I mean, we didn't, this, you know, it's not going to, it's going to be longer than a few years before, you know, we change a mentality and before we change hearts mm-hmm. that say that this is the right thing to do. And the more and more we begin, we continue to educate families, then their offsprings will understand, and this will become a common, you know, for families to ask for, you know, opportunities and to ask, you know. All of our families, all of our people here are taxpayers, regardless. Right. And so everyone ought to be able to take taxpayer dollars and use them that best suits their particular needs. And so I'm excited about the future. I'm excited, you know, that every year we're seeing better and greater results. I mean, there was just something in the paper over the other day with regards to, you know, where our parents and, you know, the percentage of students who are now going to school, college. Great. I mean, in 2004, we only had about 37% of our high school kids going to college. Mm-hmm. Now we have more than 63%
in 2015. Congratulations.
63% of our students going to college. You know, the graduation rate in New Orleans climbed from only 54% in 2004 mm-hmm. to over 75% in 2015. Those are phenomenal results. Those, I mean, and so, and that's only within a 10-year span.
Right.
Imagine what the future can hold and will hold if we continue this trajectory and we continue the fight.
Well, let me ask you something, you know, about the fight, because you hear a lot of times when a charter school would come over and take over a public school. Mm-hmm. Can you give me in like 1 minute, how does that work? Because a lot of times people think the big old charter school then came in and took over.
And that's a good thing. Go ahead and tell them what happened.
In Louisiana, you know, one of the laws that related to education reform was what is generally called the takeover law.
Not and a hostile takeover.
What it allows for is if a school is chronically failing. You know, really being an F school year after year after year.
A traditional public school.
Yeah, the state can award what's called a Type 5 charter to find an organization that they authorize to come in, take over that school, and run it as
around.
A charter school.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, in relation to charters, I think one thing I'd like to leave people with is the idea or the people think that because we promote school choice, that we're anti-public school, that we hate public schools, and that's far from the truth.
I think
Ann said it in the beginning, our goal is for all schools to be excellent. So mm-hmm. parents have a choice, no matter what kind of school it is, that it's excellent. And you know, that's the bottom line. We want excellent schools, but we want parents to have choices. And, you know, whether it's public, private, you know, whatever, and we do believe, and we've seen it, that competition is helping improve all.
It's healthy. It really is. Well, tell me this: how give parents information on how they can apply?
They can wait till January, mm-hmm. but go to our website, Louisiana.
But don't wait until January to go to the website. Go to the website now.
Louisiana, the number 4children.org.
Okay.
And in fact, there is a spot on the page right when you get on it where you can learn more. And so if they put in their address and all that, then we'll have that person in our database.
Okay.
And we'll be able to remind them when January gets here that it's time to apply.
Okay. Because
that's one of the things we do is we publicize very heavily the beginning of the application period.
Okay.
That's very important.
Good, good. So, Ann, tell me, you know, we talked about what the future looks like, and I know you probably had this great agenda. What else can we tell parents to educate them and to let them know that they have options and they have choices?
You know, I think that the first thing is just to, you know, parents have to, and I think I've seen this a lot lately, but they have to be a lot more aggressive in demanding that they have better, mm-hmm. right? That, you know, sometimes we've gotten to a point where we just don't believe that we could have better, that it could happen for us or for our children. And that's just not the case. When you see, you know, there that there is so much when a parent or family sees that there is so much debate over an issue, and that issue is centered on the future of your child, then it's to their benefit to learn more. We're saying, go on our website. Send us an email, contact us, and we'll give you one-on-one, you know, information. But take the information just even from this particular, show, and take it seriously, because, you know, it's your right.
It is.
It is your right, and it is that child's right.
It is. And look, I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate your compassion, your passion, the tenacity that you have, and the way you think, and your forward thinking. And I'm just glad that you guys have been a part of this show today. And I've learned a lot. I know the listeners have learned a lot.
Thank you.
And keep doing what you're doing. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Don't lose hope. You know, just continue to hang in there. And I believe that you're going to continue to educate, you know, our community and families so they can make better choices for themselves. And you want to make sure you make a choice and go to that website. That's Louisiana4Children.org. And you want to do that today. Don't wait until January. You want to do that today, like Miss Ann said. But thank you so much, Ann Duplessis and Paul Dolphin. But thank you guys so much for being a part of this show. And we would love to have you back on. And if you're doing anything special, come see us and let's talk about it here on the Tailgate Absolutely. Show. Thank you guys for being a part of the show today. And thank you guys for listening as always. And you know what I say every week. Go be great. Wake up every day like you're on a mission. Matthew 6:33. Peace.
I will bless the Lord at all times. Heaven 1460 WXOK.